Okay, Wednesday evening, 10/27/21. A no nonsense look at the book of Revelation. The title is Taking the Kingdom by Force. We'll turn to Matthew 11:12 first. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I didn't look up any of those words, but y'all get the gist of it. The violent take it by force. Not the passive, but the violent. Okay, with that, we're going to look in the book of Daniel tonight in chapter 7. My TV shoot. Today, I was reading out of this book, and the Lord quickened something to me, so because really, Daniel and John, they said it differently, but they kind of saw the same thing. They saw the beast system. All right, verse 1 of 7. In the year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld to the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of its four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things, which some people believe that's the Antichrist, the little horn. That's just a spokesperson for the beast. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me, and I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. That's what caught my attention today when I was reading. And possess the kingdom forever. Even forever and ever. That sure blows the rapture theory away, doesn't it? Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth are of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And the ten horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I tell you what, that horn is proclaiming it a lot today. Right now it's just coming out, blasting. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So this is bringing down this Antichrist system. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. I know what he's talking about. And think to change times and laws, and they should be given into his hand until time and times and the dividing of times. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So that's what caught my attention about, I don't believe that this is a passive thing. I don't think it's just something that we're just going to observe. I think most people in the church believe that. They believe that the end times are coming and there's nothing they can do about it, and so they're just going to sit and watch, and they're sitting on their suitcases ready to exit out of here at any moment. Did you see anything like that about an exit there? I didn't see anything either. All right. Most of them are saying, well, I'm waiting for either the Lord coming or a med bed to make it through. I really don't want to hear any more about the med beds. I'm telling you, I'm getting to the point that, because it's all Christians that I hear talking about it. I'm thinking, Lord, they never mention anything about your healing power or grace. But they talk about the rapture nonstop. I don't understand. What's the deal? All right. I believe we're to be participants. I believe we're having a showdown with the beast. I mean, it says he makes war with the saints. He didn't say he made war with Jesus. Which, if he makes war with Jesus, he makes war with us, with the body of Christ, right? Okay. We have more to do with this than we have thought. Absolutely. All right, we're not going to just be sitting in the grandstands. I remember Simon Park saying, get your popcorn ready. It's kind of offensive to me. You'd have to know Simon. He's an Englishman, and he's very proper, and they have very strange ways of expressing things. He said it makes it sound like it's just, oh, you know, no big deal. He said, this is a big deal. And I agree with him. It is a big deal. Heaven and earth are supposed to work together. There's no separation as far as Scripture is concerned. Most people think, well, God's up there in heaven. I wonder if he hears me. And he's just letting us fend for ourselves down here type of attitude. But no. This is it's like an operation. Since Jesus came, he said, you're going to see the angels descending and ascending on the Son of Man. This is it's like when Adam was in the garden before he fell, and God would come down in the evening and they'd walk in the garden, have fellowship. This is the way it is. We are under an open heaven. We're not just us down here and them up there. But isn't that the way it's perceived? Isn't that the way it's talked about? Oh, someday. No. We're all one place. I think it's the Amplified. In Peter, it talks about we're under the commonwealth of heaven. What's a commonwealth? It's kind of an extension of another, like a country or something, has a commonwealth. We have them in the United States. Virginia is a commonwealth, isn't it? I think it is. All right. There's some other commonwealths. And they get real offensive if you don't say it. It's a commonwealth for some reason. I remember during the campaign with President Trump, he said, I have to mention, it is a commonwealth. So not to offend anybody. All right, we are already supposed to be ruling and reigning with him as kings and priests. We're going to look at some scriptures on that. Romans 5:17, first one. See, we're holding the line down here. This has been going on. This isn't a new thing. This is a 6,000-year war. They talk about the six-day war. What about the 6,000-day war? And especially the last 2,000 years since we got our authority back. Isn't something just all of a sudden, one day, this thing is happening? And that's the way Christians view the end of days. And that's why they always put it out here. No, I don't want to deal with that. Don't want to talk about that. Don't want to know nothing about that. Only my pet peeve. Scriptures I pull out that are all about me flying away. We even sang it. It was in the Assembly of God. I'll fly away, oh glory, in the morning, in the sky, by and by, I'll fly away. For by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. For the most part, I don't see many Christians reigning. It's just the truth. Not many. There's a few. There's always a remnant that get a hold of it and do all the work while the others whine. It's just the way it is. You can go read it all throughout the scriptures. There's always the whiners. Ones that don't want to do anything. Okay, the next one's 1 Peter 2:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, the kingdom of God is already inside of us. Now, it's going to be manifested in the earth. But that's what Jesus did. He came to bring the kingdom back to Adam. He lost it. Aren't we sealed with him in the heavenly supernatural realm? Or seated, not sealed, seated. We're seated with him in the heavenly realm. Already Colossians. That's Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So at his coming, it's also your coming because we're seated with him. That's how he looks at it. Sounds like a team to me, doesn't it, to you? Not us down here and yous up there. Yeah, sounds like a team. We are the body of Christ. He won't go anywhere without his body. Now we know why Christians are so dumb. Like bah-bah sheep, like that what you sent me, Ted Nugent. They ask him, would you like to make a statement about all this COVID stuff and what the people have done? He says, yes, I would. He goes, bah, bah, bah. That's what he did. You know why they're so stupid? They left their head at home. Jesus is the head. Jesus won't go anywhere without his body. We should go nowhere without our head. Okay? All right. It is an injustice to separate the earthly and the heavenly. God does not view it that way. He already sees us complete in him. He already sees us ruling and reigning with him. He already sees us seated with him in heavenly places. In other words, it said, don't even consider what's going on in this earth. in that respect to let it bother you and bog you down, but to view it like, huh, no problem. We're to view it like God views it. Okay, with that, turn to Revelation 19. It made me view this passage of Scripture a little differently also. Verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen and white and clean. Now, I believe these are angel armies, but I'm also thinking, we might be part of that bunch. Heavenly speaking, we're already seated with him, right? I'm telling you, the book of Revelation is symbolic. That's what got us all messed up, is this literal looking at it. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Now we know it's not literal. It is not a literal sword coming out of his mouth. It's the Word of God. This is how we fight in God's army. Literally fight with his word. That with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress with fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and the flesh of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great and small. You know what? We can kick the devil out and the Antichrist anytime we want to. We're already ruling and reigning with him, or we're supposed to be. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Gideon's army. Here we are. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, have the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more. Now, I see spiritual warfare here. I also see whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. We have the ability, power, to bind the devil. What do we do when we speak the Word of God? We send angels on assignment. Let's look at this from a faith perspective as a soldier in the kingdom of God and how we operate. There's no God that's, we don't have a God that's not a faith God. That's what he did. That's how he created, and everything he did is by faith. And so that's how we operate. It's by faith. Why should end of days be any different? It isn't. Okay, I'm going to keep reading here. Wait a minute. All right, let me just read what I wrote here. Christians just need to stop looking for signs and for things to happen and just get busy occupying by binding, loosing, sending angels on assignment. So I wrote down some scriptures on angels and also on God being with us, how he has our back. I see this in 19, that he has our back. We're speaking, we're saying this, we're taking this out, we're taking out that. What does he do? He's on his horse with his armies. Well, we got to go do what they said. We back them up when they use the word of God. Like Claire Grace, well, saw Jesus come in on a white horse in the congregation saying, I'm here to observe the troops. Or inspect the troops is the way he put it. Well, I tell you, I want him to say to me, you passed your inspection. You're doing it right. You're doing it by faith. You're doing exactly what you need to be doing. I still think people are expecting some big something or other. I don't. I think that it's going to go on like it's been going on, and we'll just look up and it's changed. Why? Because the kingdom of God's inside of you. It's just going to be that the bad forces have been pushed back to the point that they can no longer affect the kingdom of God and it's springing forth. That's what's going to happen. That's really what it indicates in the Old Testament. In Isaiah, that's what it talks about. When there's no devil and he's completely bound, he can't do any more of his shenanigans. What happens? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's all that can happen. Only good. Sickness flees away. The earth in its original state, there was no sickness and disease. And Jesus came and he did what he did to the devil. And if we believe, we can walk that way, whether anybody else does or not. So this is not something big Star Wars thing that's going to happen. It comes without observation. People think, I don't know what happened. It just feels different. But what they don't know, there's been a whole lot of folk, a remnant, that's been speaking and decreeing and going through hell, changing things. Bet you never heard anybody teach on the book of Revelation like that, have you? It makes it practical, doesn't it? And instead of that, ooh, that's one of those books, you know, we don't go there. Or Brother Hagin said, boy, I don't touch that book. You know, I ain't anointed to do that. Well, that's a crying shame. All right, let's look at some scriptures here. First one's Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. All right, we'll just keep going. I've got several here. Matthew 18:10. I just looked up, not all of them, but several of them. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father who is in heaven. What I'm trying to get you to see here is how the angels, the Father, the Son, they're all working with us. We're all a team working together. We're not there up there and we're down here. That's what I want you to see through this. John 1:51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I believe it's the same. I believe it's the same. Jacob had a vision of the angels coming down that ladder, up and down the ladder. That's what happens to the children of God. They're here to assist us, to help us. Yeah. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? They're here to help us. That's why we need to watch our words. We don't want to say non-working words that we won't have any benefit. All right. Hebrews, that's 1:14. Hebrews 12:22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Everywhere God goes, he's got thousands upon thousands of angels all around him all the time. He flies with them. In that weird time machine chariot thing. Yeah. All right, Hebrews 13:2. Talk about a ride. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. So they're among us. Yeah. Psalms, we're going to go to the Psalms now. Psalm 68. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. He travels with lots of them. They do his bidding. He speaks and they act. I'm sure in creation, he had them angels going all over the place, doing all kinds of things. Okay, Psalms 91, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I've had things happen, a few things in my life where I knew there was angelic, you know, they stepped in and saved us from an accident or something. All of us have had those occasions where that's happened. Psalms 103, 20. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his bidding. Psalms 104:4. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. I know when Mike Thompson said he had the vision of he was up in heaven or where God was, he could look down and see the strongholds, and he started speaking to those things, and those angels just went like rockets, shoom, shoom, started taking them out. You know, if we could see visibly what really is transpiring, slashing them demons up, blood, gore gushing everywhere. I mean, there's no telling what it really looks like. But I know this, when you use the name of Jesus and plead the blood of Jesus, it gives them pain, and that gives me pleasure. Most definitely. All right, Joshua 5. I tried to get them in order, but I kind of... Anyway, Joshua 5:13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Why? That's fixing to go into Jericho. Angelic armies. They're the ones that pushed the wall down. Yeah. All right, Joshua 10, verse 11. Well, let's just do 10. That's good. And the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Medica. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were going down to Beth Horon that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven unto them, unto Azekah, and they died. There were much more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. I told you about how heavy those things are. Some of them up to 100 pounds. That's some heavy duty artillery, I'll tell you. We must always remember that God is with us. Never forget that He's with us. Sometimes it feels like we're alone, but we're not. We're going to look at some scriptures on that. Matthew 28. He's with us. He's for us. He backs us up. He's given the angels to minister us and help us. 28:20. He said, teaching them, talking about the Great Commission, go ye therefore and teach. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, which should be end of the age. Okay, John 14. John 14, 16, and 17. There's not anything that happens to you, just like he says, my eyes on the birds. And there's not one that falls that I don't take notice of. So how much more? His heirs. Okay. John 14, 16, and 17. And I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Good news. Romans 8, 38. Well, 37. Well, 36. He's talking about persecution. 35, it's just too good. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in, or who, I don't like that word, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's with us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? All right, let's keep going. Hebrews 13, 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. All right, let's go to the Old Covenant, Deuteronomy 3, 16. Is that right? I don't know if I might have misdone this one. Yeah, I don't know which one that is. That may be 13. Let me look at 13. Well, I don't know what it was. Anyway, let's keep on going. This is Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. There's a lot of scriptures I just picked a few. All right, 2 Kings. Chapter 6. And I've read this to you many times. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place where the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria, whose was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God's always been with his people. Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Is Jesus literally coming to take out the bad guys? Cannot tell for sure. But either way, he is with us and is fighting with us and his angelic armies. Will we literally see the devil bound and thrown in the pit? Not sure. But we have the power to bind and loose him right now. Matthew 18:18. Whatsoever shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I once read a book by Marilyn Hickey. It was on the book of Revelation. She said, there is a view from heaven and a view from the earth. When you're reading the book of Revelation, she said, always remember that. The view from heaven is one way and the view from earth is another. We are the body of Christ, so where we go one, we go all. Even in the Old Testament, they had divine assistance. And I'm going to read you a couple more deals of scripture and then we'll be done. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the time of Jehoshaphat's reign. It says, it came to pass after this also, it's verse 1, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? They dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, and their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and he said, Hearken, ye all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the Lord and the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them that they found among them in abundance, both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. So we're armed and ready. And this is how we arm ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. See, Jehoshaphat, they asked for the Lord's assistance, and he said, Don't worry about it, I got it. And they praised the God and thanked God. And God fought the battle for them. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So that's what we're to do. Okay.